Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 473 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week I am joined via Skype by Shane Burkeen, Nashville Rep's Visual and Digital Communications Manager. And we're going to talk social media and all things kind of Facebook and Twitter and that sort of thing. So we're going to have a little fun with that. So we're going to get into that conversation just after, you guessed it, these brief messages.
Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet. Yet I ask you to take time
to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play,
don't
in, the
all
gutter,
play
of course,
in the gutter, of course. Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater!
All right, IDSers, I am joined by Shane Burkeen, Nashville Rep's Visual and Digital Communications Manager. Did I get that right, Shane?
You did. Yes, that's perfect.
Outstanding. So, how are you? And of course, as we're recording this, we're in the midst, we're in the throes of Snowmageddon 2016, the snowpocalypse. So, are you surviving?
Yes, I'm loving it. Yeah, and part of my job is like monitoring social media, and it's like really fun seeing everybody posting pictures of the snow on social media. So,
I know I see all the everybody's little videos about, oh, this is great. Look at them. I'm going, uh-huh.
Right, or the dogs outside in the snow, yeah.
Right until they have to try to drive out their driveway tomorrow morning. That's when the phone
right,
stops.
Exactly. Yeah, we're lucky that we can do this over the phone.
So part of the reason is I wanted to have you on is you Nashville Rep has a series of workshops going pretty much through the year. And you're giving one or two of them. So I wanted to give you a chance to chat about the workshop program, and then more specifically about the one you're involved with.
Definitely. Yeah. So, we started the workshop program. We've been doing workshops every year, but this year we really pumped them up. We brought David Ian Lee on as our workshop manager this year, and he's actually teaching a class on scene study, which is super cool. We tried to offer a big variety this year. And this is kind of the first year I've been folded into the workshop process. Over the summer, I did a free class just about Facebook and social media. And we had such a large turnout for it that we knew that the theater community was definitely interested. And so like this year, I've offered a special class just for actors on social media, and also a workshop that just focuses on Facebook ads, which to me is super exciting. To other people, it's like kind of daunting, but that's kind of the cool thing about me being able to teach it, because I can kind of walk everybody through those steps. Because, you know, traditional ads are like, you know, the ads that you see on the sidebar of Facebook, but like there's so many cool things you can do. Like there's like this new thing that Facebook lets you do, where you can upload email lists, So like we took an email list from one of our most successful shows, Death of a Salesman, last year. Uh-huh. We were able to upload it to Facebook. Facebook analyzed that list, found people that were on that list that were on Facebook, and then I was able to create a lookalike audience that was people in Nashville that have many of the same interests as those people from Death of a Salesman. So I'm like targeting these new people that should technically like Nashville Rep because they like all the same things that these people that already like Nashville Rep like.
That's just crazy. That's crazy with the power of that information.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. Yeah, yeah. And like Twitter, you know, there's all kinds of ads that you can kind of hook on to like-minded businesses. Like we could take out an ad Twitter will analyze people that like TPAC or like just like theater, you know, and serve ads just to them. You know, and it's just really interesting. Like we have really good luck with our Angry Mood Works stuff on Twitter just because a lot of playwrights really focus all of their social media on Twitter, where a lot of theater entertainment people really focus more on Facebook. And kind of what I talk about in my class is like going through those analytics, figuring those things out, trying to figure out trends in like age groups and all of that kind of stuff and how to serve up ads to them. And like one of the cool ads we did for the workshop program is we did a week-long workshop for youth. And I was able to pinpoint all of these like 12-year-olds to 18-year-old students in Nashville that were interested in theater and just serve that ad up to them. And then I used pictures of like colleagues, like Isaac that was in Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, uh-huh. and people they knew showed up in the ads. So it would be more personalized to them.
That's great. That's just, I mean, running the podcast and you know, I have to deal with Twitter and Facebook and everything else, but the potentiality, is that a word, I guess, potentiality of how you can reach your target audience is just, you know, it is just mind boggling how just little bits of, hey, I like this on Facebook could lead you into a whole different, you know, category of audience. It's very interesting.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I mean, it's, the thing that's really, amazing for theaters like us and other theaters, that I want to stress about, like, these social media ads is they're so much less expensive than, most forms of ads. Like we're able to take like just $20 and serve up an ad, you know, and reach thousands of people, and we like actually know it's reaching those people, like because we can actually target them, and we can set the ad to where it will not charge us unless they actually see that ad.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so I mean, it's so much more efficient for us to use our money on stuff like that. And then we've got the whole thing with like so many people are moving into Nashville, and like you just know that there's a lot of people moving from other, you know, cities that love theater, and here they are coming to Nashville, and it's like, how do you get in front of them? Uh-huh. And my boss before, Steve Bianchi, Hollis, she had started us doing that, it's like called the doormat program, where when someone moves into a new place, they get like this doormat package that has like all of these different coupons and stuff for local businesses. And like she put us in there, which I thought was really cool, you know, to get us in front of those people. But we extend that on social media by targeting people that have just moved.
Wow.
In the past, like, you know, month to a week.
Well, that's wild. That's crazy. That's, yeah. Because you can actually then track how many people are coming into Nashville per month, then, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that have those kind of interests. I mean, it's just amazing, the technology.
So the workshop on actors, in fact, how would an actor make use of this technology, Twitter and Facebook and that sort of thing?
Yeah, yeah. The class I did about social media for actors, one of the, I think a lot of people get confused if they should have an actual like official page. And the terminology has kind of shifted a little bit with Facebook. They used to call it like a public profile page, or like a public profile. And basically it's like Nashville Rep, Nashville Ballet, all of those are called pages now. And then like your personal page is called your profile page. But like all actors should go ahead and make an actor page, even though they have a personal profile page. And I just want to stress, like, don't be so concerned if a lot of people, you can't get a lot of people to like your actor page. It doesn't really matter. It's just that information is out there for somebody to find. I find a lot of my actor friends do everything on their profile pages, and they keep all of their information locked down.
Right.
So when somebody's searching for them on Facebook, they can't find anything. And I promise you, we all search Facebook nowadays for actors, for jobs, all of that stuff. We're all constantly looking for people there. So it's like in your best interest to keep some information out there public.
Right. And it would probably be best to, because I mean, you can have your actor page and then whatever your personal page is can do with all your kitten videos and your, you know, political rants one way or the other, right?
Definitely. Yeah. And I mean, like one thing that I do on my personal page is I switch the target audience. Like if it's something I'm posting about work, I open it up to the world, to like everybody on Facebook. But if it's something that I just kind of want my friends to see, you know, I lock it back down to just my friends. And that's something that they've enabled on the mobile app, which I never really used it before because I'm always on my phone checking this stuff. And once they enabled it on my phone, I like do it all the time. And so like I'm finding a bunch of people are seeing my work stuff more, and I'm getting more friends requests from, you know, people from other theater companies and all of that kind of stuff because I've been doing that.
It's very funny. It's because for a while there, they were pushing actors to have their own websites.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if you could have one or the other, I mean, obviously Facebook would probably be the easiest to, because you don't have to deal with hosting and everything else, but do you think one would replace the other, or do you think someone should have both, or what's your aspect on, I mean, I guess it's just another avenue, correct?
Yeah, I would say, because like one of the proudest days on my job is when Chip Arnold got a Facebook page. I've been telling him forever, like, please get a Facebook page, you know? And it just automatically opened stuff up for him for us to be able to tag him, for him to be able to share his work. And he went ahead and got someone to design a personal website for him. And all of that's great. Like, it's just more avenues that you're going to be seen. You know, if you have a web page, the search engines have been working out a deal for a long time with social media outlets to like start indexing that content. It seems like Google will absolutely index content from Twitter. It's a little slower about Facebook. Whenever somebody searches for like John Malden, like in search engine, it would be nice to see like some of this. It kind of helps you curate your own content out there, what comes up on social media. Like I do all of that for us in the back end of our website. Like I'm coding in all of this information and telling the search engines like, if someone types in entertainment in Nashville, pull up this. So you're kind of doing that in an easier way with social media. Another one of the social websites that a lot of people don't think about is Pinterest. And Pinterest, we get found a lot from Pinterest. And basically what I do is I mean, it's great. You just put all these pictures of your organization or yourself, or like pull pictures from news clippings, and the way you write the description, like you could say John Malden in Natural Repertory Theater's Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. And a search engine will catch all of that information just from having a Pinterest page.
Wow. Wow. So, I have not really that's one platform I've not delved much into was Pinterest. That's an interesting thing I'll have to take a look at. What are the aspects of Twitter that, you know, that the actors, because I do Twitter stuff and people ask me, I mean, I don't know a whole lot, but I know enough probably just to be dangerous. But, you know, I think what struck me is that a lot of people think, say you have your 140 characters or your message and, they think you're one and done, but you have to be fairly active on Twitter to reach your audience, don't you? I mean, otherwise you're just kind of throwing a wadded up piece of paper against a wall and hopefully somebody sees it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which definitely isn't something to get discouraged about.
Right.
I remember it was funny because Renee finally got a Twitter account and she was like, how do people find me? And I was like, don't worry, people will find you. And one of the things that kind of helped that was I used our business page to retweet things that she had tweeted. And that's something that you can ask theaters that you work with as an actor. Like if you're sharing stuff about, always make sure, like if you're doing a show with a theater, find out their social tags or, you know, their Twitter tag. You know, and tweet stuff. There's a lot of stuff that I can't do because of equity rules. Like I can't just walk into a dressing room and start taking pictures of people,
right?
Because equity protects our actors, and right. And I wouldn't want to like do something that makes them uncomfortable. But if an actor wants to take a picture of themselves in the dressing room as they're getting ready, you know, and wants to share that on social media, that's something I can pick up and, you know, offer a backstage look to our audience. That's, you know, so kind of let the theater you're working for know, like, hey, I'm on the social media channel and stuff. Make sure to tag them. Hashtags are another great way to connect you to a larger conversation.
Uh-huh.
They're not only fun for ironic things. A lot of people just use them for, you know, like hashtag I'm doing this podcast now, you know, something like that. You right. really want to like find something like with all of our playwriting stuff. We use the hashtag new play because
right.
it connects us to this larger conversation. And people can look up that hashtag and find people that are interested in that topic and start following them.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really easy. You just do a search for a hashtag on Twitter, you know, and you can find out if it's real or not.
Right.
Or if somebody's made it up, you know.
Right, right. Well, I think it's funny. Most of the any of the breaking news, you know, celebrity deaths or events or anything like that, typically nowadays, I really honestly find out about it first, either on Twitter or Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
And I find that if it's one or the other, I run to the other one to, like, verify it. Like, if I see it on Twitter, I'm going, okay, I'll go on Facebook to see if anybody said anything. If I see it on Facebook, I'll go to Twitter to see if anybody said anything.
Well, I was just watching the news this morning, and they were saying, like, we're finding all our breaking news rather than Twitter and not Facebook just because of the nature of the fastness of Twitter.
Right.
You know, it's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, like, different organizations work differently with those social media channels. It seems like a lot of people in Nashville use Facebook, whereas national theater people tend to use Twitter more. I'm not saying either one's better than the other. I think you should be on all of them.
Yeah.
You know, have a little bit of stuff out there on everything. It doesn't hurt you at all. You know, people don't have to like it. They don't have to, like, retweet it or anything like that. It's just good to have that information out there so it's searchable.
Yeah, and I agree with you.
Damn.
I agree with you, too. And I agree with the biggest proponent of it or biggest aspect of it is the fact that it is social media, right?
Mm-hmm.
The social part I find it very frustrating when I find somebody, especially on Twitter, and they, you know, they've locked their profile and only their friends can see it, and you're like,
oh yeah,
you have to wait, and then by the time it's just, yeah, it's the social aspect of social media. you gotta have the social part. All right, man. Well, as we wrap up here, where can we find information about the rest of the workshops through the season and that sort of thing?
Oh, definitely. If you visit NashvilleRep.org, we have a tab called Theater Education, and there's a, or you can just directly type NashvilleRep.org/theater-workshops.
Cool.
And we have a couple other ones. We have one from Nate Epler, which I would totally pay Nate just to sit in a room and talk to him because he's amazing. There's like a auditioning for television class too. That is Cheryl White. Have you IMDb'd her? Like, this is totally one of those things. Like, I swear, we're all looking you up online. I promise you. But Cheryl has like this like great. Just check out Cheryl White. Just type her into Google, and her IMDb page will show up. And she's been on True Blood and like Will and Grace and all these TV shows. It's amazing.
Cool.
And she's teaching a class.
Good.
Yeah.
That's a good plug for her. And Renee's involved with one, right? Is she doing a...
Yeah, she's doing an audition clinic. With monologues at the end of the semester. It's April 11th.
And what's the... It runs pretty much through the end of your season, correct? Kind of late... middle May. Is that the end of it?
April 11th is our last class.
Cool.
But we will more than likely be adding some summer classes. We're already like meeting. If there's any ideas that people have, I would love for you to like send some stuff to us. I swear, like I'm pretty sure that if we did a crafts class with Gary C. Hoff, our scenic designer, that had nothing to do with theater. It was just crafts. I swear, I think half of Nashville would show up because he's so amazing. But like we with the social media stuff this year, it was kind of the first time we've offered something that wasn't, it didn't have to revolve around theater. We wanted to open it up to other businesses or, you know, theater professionals, not just actors. And we keep wanting to expand that. So if you have any ideas, please send them to us. You can write us on Facebook. You can send a message to our contact form. You can email me directly at shane@nashvillerep.org.
All right. Well, thanks, man.
Thank you.
When guests can't appear in the studio, they are interviewed over Skype. Skype is a great piece of software that turns your computer into a phone. Talk computer to computer or to any phone or cell phone in the world through the Skype Out program. Interested? Download Skype via inexplicabledumbshow.com. Just look for the Download Skype button. Go ahead. Join in the fun.
All right, so that's it. I'd like to thank Nashville Repertory Theater's Visual and Digital Communications Manager, Shane Burkeen, for stopping by today to talk about social media and social aspects and Facebook and Twitter and things that actors should know about what they can do to further their sort of their social presence online and that sort of thing. Again, all the workshop information that we discussed in the body of this podcast will be found on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Hey, do you want to be part of the Dumb Show? Please do so by calling the voicemail line at 615-866-1282. Or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com. Or follow the show on Twitter at @inexplicableds, @I, inexplicable, D, S. Find out the latest comings and goings and whatnot for the show via our Twitter feed. So next week... who knows what we'll be up to, but it'll be up to something good. So until next week, this is John Malden saying, hey, I'll see ya. Bye.
That's a detergent. Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnatune. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No ease. That's Blueberry, B-L-U-B-R-R-Y, .com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.